and at the welcome table, you can get more and just and hand it out to your family and friends. So I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray specifically for Pastor Glenn, who's going to be preaching this morning. So let's join our hearts together and submit this time to the Lord. Father, thanks again for bringing us together this morning on this third Sunday of Advent. And we just pray that you would prepare our hearts for this season. And we pray that you would be the one who is glorified. So Jesus, we give you this time. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to minister to us. And we pray for your anointing upon Pastor Glenn. And we just thank you for Pastor Glenn and Terry and their addition to this community in this last year or so. And we just thank you for our partnership in the kingdom. And we pray that you would continue to anoint and bless them in their lives, in their family, in their ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Pastor Glenn really needs no introduction. He's been around and for this last year or so, and we really love him. They have a spirit of hospitality. Hopefully you get an opportunity to go over their house at some point. They're just really hospitable in their family, and we love them so much. So Pastor Glenn's our training pastor, and one thing that he's been working on, especially this year, is our school of ministry that we're partnering up with all the area vineyard churches in the East LA area, and we're launching that in April. And so Glenn's been working hard on that, and we're grateful to have him come and preach. So let's give a warm welcome to Pastor Glenn.
So after service, I want to invite you all over to our house for lunch. Yeah, I'm sure you will. Yeah. So good morning. How are you all? Good, good. It's good to be together, as always. And I would like to talk to you this morning about supernatural authority. Supernatural authority. And we're going to look at Matthew 28:16-20. And so I'd like to read this together. So let's do this. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority on heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Okay, I'm going to move this up a little bit. There, that's better. Okay, so this is the third Advent Sunday, and Advent is traditionally a time when we prepare our hearts for the coming of King Jesus, who came to earth in a weak and humble way as a child, but he left this earth with all the power and authority of the universe conferred upon him. So, in the last days, at this time with his disciples, he delegates this authority to them. He delegates this supernatural authority to them. And it really is a truly remarkable thing that the God, with all the power and authority of the universe, would confer his authority on us. And this is clearly implied by the verses we just read. So now we're going to look at them a little bit more closely. So let's look at verse 17 first, and let's read this one together. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. This is really incredible. Jesus is at the climax of his time on earth as a human being, and all the supernatural authority of the universe has been given to him to revolutionize and change, transform the world by means of making disciples of all people groups, all ethnic groups. So now he's about to delegate this authority to his disciples, this supernatural authority. These are his apprentices that he's been with for some 3 years or so. So he's about to delegate this authority to them, and they doubt. Ooh, that's a little bit awkward when you've been training people for 3 years, and they doubt. So we don't know exactly what this doubt means, but we'll look at that in a minute. I know that many of you are in positions of leadership where you work or at school and you employ people or you build teams. And what is it you look for when you employ people or you build your teams? You look for competence, responsibility, dependability. The disciples doubted. So, we don't know exactly what this doubt is. It's not explained for us, but perhaps the disciples doubted Jesus himself in some way. Perhaps they doubted that maybe he was alive right there in front of their eyes, or maybe they doubted some aspect of what he was wanting them to do. Maybe the disciples doubted that they were the people for the job of changing the world. It could be that they doubted that they were spiritually competent for this amazing commission that God had for them, that Jesus was giving them. And you've got to remember that these are the same people that just a few days before had ditched Jesus and ran away in fear. Now, some of you this morning, you yourselves feel that maybe you're not quite up to this grand commission. Maybe you feel like you're not ready for it. You say, that's not me. Some of you feel that you're perhaps spiritually incompetent. I know I feel that way fairly often. So I know how you feel. But this verse should make us feel pretty good. We're in good company with the disciples. After 3 years of training, they doubt. I mean, whoa, they've been with Jesus for 3 years. They've seen amazing things, and yet they doubt. So we should feel pretty good about this. We should feel pretty good about the fact that we're called to participate in this incredibly grand commission. And really, as we look at this verse, as we let the truth of this verse soak in our soul, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And the Holy Spirit is saying to us, don't believe the lies of your self-talk. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. You truly have been called to change the world. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you, I know that you have doubted. I know that you doubt. But I want you on my team. Let that sink in. Let that soak in. The Spirit is saying to you today, in spite of your weaknesses, I want you on my team. I want you to do this with me. Let's go to the next set of verses that I want to focus on. So let's read Matthew 28:18 and then 20. So Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In other words, the end of this present time that we're in before Jesus returns, even until that time when Jesus returns. So, what is the nature of this evangelistic and missional power and authority? Well, a few things probably. One, it's delegated to us. And this is implied by Jesus commissioning the 11 and telling them that the basis for this commissioning is his authority. And then telling them that the one with all this power and authority is going to be with them always. Now that's a pretty amazing thing. In other words, all this broad power and authority, this all-encompassing authority, is with us all the time. All the time. Now, sometimes we don't feel it. Probably most of the time we don't feel it. But it's reality. And this is the Word of God. This is God speaking to us. And he tells us the authority is there all the time. And I want to impress upon you still more that this authority is a supernatural authority. It's a power that's always with us in some way. And I'll do this by looking at a couple of more scriptures where this word authority is used in the context of mission. So the first one we'll look at is in Luke 9, 1 and 2. And this is the time when Jesus sent the disciples out on their very first ministry trip all by themselves. Okay, so let's read these verses together. One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That sounds pretty supernatural to me. A supernatural authority. The second instance that we're going to look at is right before Jesus ascends to heaven, pretty close to the time that we're looking at in Matthew 28. And Jesus tells the disciples what their incredible mission is going to be looking like. And he does that in Acts 1:8. So actually this verse, Acts 1:8, is a sort of rephrasing of what we read in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. So let's read this together. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost, well, to the ends of the earth. Supernatural authority. Let that soak in. It's there all the time. It's with us. So God is intent on changing the world through us. Whenever we do any kind of mission, however simple, however weak, however humble, God shows up in some kind of supernatural way. In fact, weakness and humility is an essential ingredient. God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. That grace is an all-encompassing power It's an all-encompassing gift that includes everything that God gives to us. Our salvation, power for mission, power for life, transformation, God's grace is just a big, huge, significant, broad thing. Let me tell you a story that some of you have heard me tell before to kind of illustrate this, the way that God comes in power in our weakness. So Terry and I went to Istanbul, Turkey in 1988 to church plant among Iranian displaced people, and we did that for 5 years, and we planted a couple of churches, one in Istanbul and one in Ankara, and those churches still meet to this day. And at that time, there was a British missionary in Istanbul. He was there because he wanted to minister to Iranians, but he didn't know their language. One day he checked into a flea bag hotel where destitute Iranians were living and hoping to get to the West. And one day Steve was walking up the stairs in this hotel, and a young man, a young Iranian man, came walking down the steps, actually limping down the steps because Majid had a wound in the Iran-Iraq war that he had fought in the early 80s. So Majid's limping down the stairs, Steve's walking up the stairs, and the Spirit of God speaks to Steve in that sweet, still, quiet way and tells Steve to pray for healing for Majid's leg. So Steve does this daring thing, and he stops on the stairs and begins to pray for healing for Majid's leg. And an amazing thing happened. In Majid's mind, he began to reason, wow, this is incredible that this person, obviously a Westerner, is showing this kind of compassion to me, someone who he doesn't know, and an Iranian to boot. And then Majid began to reason, wow, this person has to be a follower of Jesus. And if this is what followers of Jesus do, then I want to be a follower of Jesus. And then, without any Bible, any verses, any exchange of intelligible language, Majid gave his heart to Jesus. And when Majid shares his testimony, he says, that time on the stairs is when I was born again. That's when the supernatural power of God moved through the weakness that was inherent in Steve, and even incompetence. I mean, after all, Steve couldn't speak Majid's language. Talk about incompetence. You want to minister to somebody, and you can't even talk to them. And yet, the Holy Spirit superintended Steve's obedience, his obedience in weakness. And this Iranian was born again, right there and then. By the way, to my knowledge, Majid's leg was never healed. We have no control over the way God works. It's a mystery. And this happened some, I don't know, 30 years ago. And as far as I know, Majid's leg was never healed. But God worked supernaturally in this situation in ways that were unexpected. We just never know how that power is going to come. We never know. And that's the adventure in it. It's just so cool to partner with God and just step out in weakness and let that ever-present power and authority of God just do its thing. It's not about us, except that we just do the simple things in obedience. So the first step of making disciples is leading people to Jesus, giving life away. That's what we do. We give life away. So how do we give away this gift of life? In essence, it's nothing more than living out the second half of the greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. And this means that you have to be intentional about spending time with unchurched people. Some followers of Jesus actually don't think that we should be spending time with unchurched people. And the thinking goes something like this. Unchurched people are, quote unquote, of the world, and I don't want to be of the world, so I don't spend time with them. But let me help you understand what world, this word world, means in Scripture. So let's define this term. And to help us define the term world, let's look at a couple of verses to help us out with this. And so we'll look at John 3:16, and we'll look at 1 John 2:15. So let's read John 3:16 together, okay? For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Okay. So now let's read the second, 1 John 2:15. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you, for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. So we have an apparent problem here. Do we love the world or do we not love the world? Which is it? Well, in John 3:16, in that particular context, the world means people, and specifically unchurched people. And yes, we are to love them. Absolutely. And Jesus' whole life and ministry demonstrates that. It demonstrates how he spent time with the sinners, with the outcasts. He loved the world, and we are as well. 1 John 2:15, the word world there is a different context. And that word there in that context means a way of thinking, a worldview, one that is opposed to the things of Jesus. And we certainly don't want to adopt a worldview that is opposed to the things of Jesus. We don't want the things of the world, and we don't want to think like the world. And so as we're spending time with our unchurched friends, we certainly don't want to adopt their worldview. So different contexts, this word world means different things. So we're definitely to be loving people. So yes, we're to love our neighbors, spend time with them, develop relationships with them. Now, the first step, the very first step to loving your neighbor should be a very, very simple one. It starts with a smile. A smile brings the kingdom. A smile brings the kingdom. Changes the environment. The supernatural love and power of God's kingdom begins here. Now let's see how really accessible this is for us. I'd like to have Matt and Sam come up and demonstrate for us how easy it is to love on your neighbor. They're going to role play for us. And actually, yeah, these guys are going to be set up for an Oscar here. Okay. So what I'm going to do is, while they're demonstrating how to love their neighbor, I'm going to actually time this to show you how really easy and simple this is. If you're like me, if you're a task-oriented person like me, your time is valuable. And you're thinking, oh, Glenn, that's great, you know, talking about loving your neighbors. I've got a gazillion things on my schedule. I have no time to love on my neighbors. I can't add that. So I'm going to time this interchange, this exchange, and we'll see how much time it costs to love your neighbor. So now Sam and Matt are neighbors, okay? And they've seen each other in the neighborhood quite a bit over the last few years, but they have never spoken, okay? And so Matt is an unchurched person, and Sam is a follower of Jesus. And Sam wants a change, and he wants to do this love your neighbor thing. And so he's going to try it. So what's happening right now, this is a setting, they're walking out to their car to go to work, and let's see what happens. Whoa, that took 5 seconds, 5.92 seconds. Yeah, let's give him a hand. Whoa. A smile brings the kingdom. Changes the environment in your neighborhood. Now, what's happened over the next few weeks, Matt and Sam have seen each other a few times, and they've said hi. But now Sam wants to take it to the next level. Let's see what happens. Whoa, give these guys a hand. That took a sum total of 8.92 seconds. It totally wrecked their day, right? The thing is that now that Sam knows Matt's name, that just changes the whole game. When you acknowledge people's name, when you use people's name, it affirms them and it makes them feel valued, makes them feel loved. This is so simple and so powerful. So a smile brings the kingdom. A cheery hello brings the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the first step. And it's just really an amazing thing how something so simple can be accompanied by the supernatural power and authority of the King of all the universe. It's amazing. And all you've said is, hello, my name is Glenn. That's all you've done. And it's opened a door. You've taken a step. And over time, it grows. And with the Holy Spirit present, always, at all times, we just have no idea where this is going to take us. But it's going to be an adventure, it's going to be supernatural, and it's going to be fun. And it changes our world. Dallas Willard was a Christian who taught philosophy at USC. He's written a lot of books. He wrote books like The Divine Conspiracy. He passed away a few years back. So sad for us that we don't get to have him around. So Dallas taught philosophy at USC. He was also a vineyard guy. He was a member of the Valley Vineyard in Reseda. He did at least one national vineyard pastor's retreat that I'm aware of. Dallas didn't use words lightly. And concerning loving our neighbors, he said, loving our neighbors is the only thing that can bring life to our cities. Let that sink in. Loving our neighbors is the only thing that can bring life to our cities. Yeah, come, Holy Spirit. Come and just take this deep into our souls. There are a couple of things I'd like us to do. We've already heard that next Saturday we're going to be loving our neighbors by passing out candy canes and wrapping Christmas gifts, and I'd like you to sign up for that. Terry and I are going to be there next Saturday morning. Let's do this. Let's do this. Very simple and accessible. And let's practice giving God an opportunity to show up in supernatural ways. Second thing I'd like you to do is I'd like you to take those invitation cards that you've been given and invite at least 3 people to come next Sunday. It's going to be a really significant Sunday with Steve Shogren. He's an amazing person that God's used in some very powerful ways. So we certainly want to invite our friends to be a part of that. Why don't we stand? A smile brings the kingdom. Very simple, accessible way to take the first step of loving your neighbor and giving God the opportunity to show up in naturally supernatural ways. And I'd like you to close your eyes and give your neighbors a private moment. And if this week you're ready to give a smile to your neighbor in your neighborhood, at work, or at school, wherever you do life, if you're ready to give a smile and a cheery hello to someone, I'd like you to raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Wow, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's step